and this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Maybe halfway between Squamish and Seychelles. Yeah? Okay. And wherever you are, whoever you are, it's great to have you listening. If you check in with me sometime, I'd be glad to give you a shout out. Although, you know, some people are so dear that they don't even need to ask. And if you're one of those, that's very cool. It is 2:58 here at Coast Community Radio. On a hot day, 69 degrees, well, it feels hot, slight breeze, blue sky, absolutely beautiful. And it is almost, it's the coming up on the end of August. So who knows what the weather will be. But I hope wherever you are, you're able to enjoy every day. And for those who are suffering with fires and smoke, may it pass quickly. And may we figure out how to take better care of our earth and world. It's time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host. Going to start off with some music from Maddie and Katie. That's Maddie Charles and Katie Rose. They are playing at the Sou'wester tomorrow evening. That's in Seaview, Oregon, Seaview, Washington. And thanks for being here, folks.
There's a dance that is known as the Star of the Eastern Hall. There's a dance that they call Belarus, though it's not at all. And the music goes drifting around in its dizzying sway. And they harness the light so to dance till the light of day. Song of the old and the new, and the wind in the trees as they sway, calling, hey, hey, pretty birds, now that you're here, will you stay? And the streets here are named after saints that have been and gone, and the stories we tell to their still carry on. Lovers and dreamers and sinners have all come this way, just to be like the child with his hand in the lion's mane. Song of the old.
Let's celebrate those pretty birds and be sure they stay. We're very lucky where we live here on the Columbia River, in the Pacific Ocean. The birds seem to like us here. That was Maddie Charles and Katie Rose. And they are, again, going to be at the Sou'wester, which, boy, we're getting more and more music around here all the time. It's a wonderful thing. And Sou'wester is one of the places. The Adrift is another. Those are both on the peninsula. And practically all the restaurants around here have wonderful music as well. And speaking of wonderful music, Was that a good segue, Tevin? Wonderful. A little bit different, but I have Tevin Goldberg here.
Hi.
Hi. And Tevin is going to be playing a concert called Beyond Eclectic at Kala, or Kala. We all know what that means, fish in Finnish. And that is along with Dinah. So it's Thursday. Dinah at Hipfish and Kala has been having Thursday night concerts, and they have been wonderful, wonderful. Camilla and Jankel Falk Trio, and now Tevin Goldberg and Dinah Urell. So anything you can tell us about? Do you know what you're doing at the concert?
Yeah, so the title has been left intentionally vague. You know, you can pretty much do anything at a concert called Beyond Eclectic, but
sounds good.
So sort of the short of it is I got a new keyboard that I've been really kind of excited about and have been wanting to start doing music that's a little more kind of oriented towards that, because previously I had been sort of strictly an acoustic piano player and playing classical and jazz on the piano, which is nice, but a bit restrictive. And
go further with that, because I don't really understand. What does that mean?
Well, that was a prelude.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
But so basically, I've gotten really into sort of improvisational playing based around simple chord loops and or songs that you could sort of consider jazz-like. I've been really influenced by a jazz pianist named Brad Mehldau, who I've listened to a lot of and been kind of inspired, not to copy him, but sort of in his vein. And then Dinah is a pretty good vocalist and jazz singer, and she and I were both in the show at the Liberty for Pride Weekend, and she just talked to me backstage, and she was like, "Hey, you want to do a concert at Kala?" And I was like, "Sure, yeah, why not? That sounds like comfortably in the future, and I won't have to think about it." And here we are, a week away, and it's kind of a natural.
So you're gonna be playing some. Okay, when I said give me more, I meant I don't know what the difference when you talk about playing on an acoustic versus playing the keyboard.
Oh, okay. Why is it different?
Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds different, quite different, yeah. But I don't know from the.
Well, one, it's much more portable, but
And you can lend it to your friends, too.
Exactly. Well, it's a more, like, the piano is one instrument, and it's an excellent instrument, and for a long time it was the most versatile imaginable instrument, because you can do practically anything with it and play the whole symphonies by yourself, but it is one instrument, and an incredibly sort of, you know, heavy and difficult to move instruments. So I was starting to feel kind of restricted, because I would end up in places and there would be no piano and I would have nothing to play. And simultaneously, I've always loved the sound of like a Fender Rhodes keyboard, like kind of from the 60s and 70s, and like a Wurlitzer and synthesizers and all that kind of stuff. So that's an area that I wanted to move into in my own kind of independent playing, ultimately with the goal of doing kind of singer-songwriter, like kind of more rock, jazz rock focused groups, which I'll probably do when I go back to college in the fall.
And the piano does not lend itself to that.
It can. I mean, I still love playing the piano, and for certain things it's the ideal thing to do. But in other places I've found that I have a more unique voice with a keyboard sound, and I kind of enjoy the like electronic modulations and effects you can do with it. And so one of the things I'm going to do in the show is play a harpsichord piece on a keyboard sound with effects on it, which completely changes it, but it's still the same music.
Cool.
And so it's basically trying to integrate my really disparate musical interests into one somewhat coherent vein, with still leaving it pretty open. Because I really, the gist of it, Carol, is that I just really like sitting down at the piano with no idea what I'm going to play and just kind of seeing what happens when I play, which hence the Beyond Eclectic label.
And using the keyboard gives you more room.
Yeah, it opens up a completely different like soundscape, and and you can change the entire tone of the music by flipping a switch, and this isn't like a little like Yamaha like, you know, plinky thing. It's it's a very like,
I saw it.
Yeah.
you graciously lent it to Camilla.
So yes,
we all got to see this massive.
Well, it's not huge, but it's but it packs a big punch, I think, is the.
So mostly when you compose music or arrange music, there is no vocalist, is that right? Or yes?
Well, it's kind of funny. Yeah. I'm a classically trained vocalist. Right. Speaking of inflexible skills, but it's good for being on the radio. But
and it's good for joining the North Coast Chorale.
That's true. I've written vocal music in sort of a contemporary classical vein, that's not really the stuff that you can pull out and play at an open mic in the same way that you could other stuff. And so there are a few musicians out there today that I'm fairly inspired by that have come at music in this sort of heterodox way that I want to kind of emulate, not like verbatim, but in a similar way. So like there's a guy named Gabriel Kahane that I'm a huge fan of, and he's a classically trained composer that became a singer-songwriter. And so his songs are much more complex than your typical singer-songwriter thing, and often incorporate elements that sound very, very much like 20th century classical music, but then he's just kind of jamming or like, and so it's this kind of authentic and less pretentious kind of a way of performing what is still very new music. And so that's something that I want to move into.
Now you're still in college.
Yeah.
What year are you going?
I'm going to be a senior.
Oh, you are. Uh-oh. What happens
then? I don't know.
That's
probably the fifth time I've been asked that today.
Okay, but, let's leave that one. Let's focus on, after all, be here now.
Indeed.
And as far as the concert goes, again, this is Thursday the 31st, the last day of August, at 8 p.m., I presume, at Gala. And I think Dinah has been preparing some of her vote. Now, she plays piano, too, but she's not going to do that.
So I'm going to come. So that was what I was getting to, is that it's kind of a natural collaboration here, because I'm so used to being an accompanist, and I've accompanied musicals and classical stuff before plenty of times. And like, I mean, it's sort of, we're going to do like some rock songs. We're going to do some musical theater. Like, it's going to be interesting. And so it's basically like, it's fun to accompany somebody when you have a lot of free rein as the accompanist to make up the part, instead of just kind of dully being a backing track. That's very unsatisfying unless it's an excellent backing track. And it's excellent, excellent practice, because you have to both consider how you're basically being the entire musical texture of a piece, as well as responding to a soloist. So
it's a very different exercise than when you're just alone.
Enjoy it, because the focus is slightly off of you, so you can kind of feel
right. And Dinah packs a wallop.
She does,
too.
Yeah.
Focus will be there. Well, I'm looking forward to this again, folks. This is Tevin Goldberg, who is only here for another, what'd you say?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah. Okay, so this is good timing. And yeah, you've been, I've seen you playing in a couple of places. I know you played at the Pride Gala, and it's always fun to come upon you at the piano. Just right, walk yeah. into a room and
I have fun with it too.
Yeah, good, good, good. So come and listen to, see and listen to Dinah Urell and Tevin Goldberg at Gala. That's 1017 Marine Drive, right between 10th and 11th, on Thursday the 31st, Beyond Eclectic. And with these two, I'm sure that will be full of surprises. So, going to be good. And then you go back to Vermont.
Yeah, I go to Middlebury College in Vermont.
Have you finished all your academic stuff and you're just doing music now, or are you?
You never finish all of your academic stuff.
Oh, is that right?
They keep kind of. I'm almost done with my major, which is environmental policy.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Music isn't your major. Yeah. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, me too. I'm doing a lot of that. I'm taking a lot of philosophy courses.
Good.
I'm kind of just sliding into graduation.
Well, on the contrary, I think you've been using your time very fully. Rather,
that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
take advantage of everything that's offered.
It's really not good time politically to be an environmental policy major, so I'm finding satisfaction in other disciplines.
Yeah, well, we need you. We need your ilk these days more than ever, so I'm glad you've chosen to do that. So, do you write any environmentally oriented music?
I think that will be a major subtopic. I don't want it to be as blatant as like where have all the flowers gone, but maybe something a little bit more.
Actually, that's a whole nother story I'll talk to you about later.
But
so,
yeah, I mean, I've always had people ask me if I'm like an environmental music major, and I'm like, I mean, I don't want to just shoehorn something into another, but I mean, it's definitely an issue.
Well, it's
or
both
a topic. I mean, both
passionate.
Both just nature and the environment and ecology in general are a topic that interests me sort of poetically. So it's definitely when I actually start putting pen to paper. And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah, that right. That will definitely be a big thing.
Well,
yeah.
We'll be watching and listening. And meantime, joining you on Thursday, you and Dinah Urell at Gala. Thursday the 31st, Beyond Eclectic. Thanks so much for coming in, Tevin.
Yeah, see you all next week.
Okay. And I do have some more music for you folks. This is Pretty Gritty. Actually, that's the name of the band. And they are going to be playing at the Adrift tonight. They were there last night, too. And, hey, the best of me right here on Coast Community Radio. Pretty Gritty, And they are, again, playing tonight at the Adrift. They come on a regular basis here, so keep your ears and eyes open, because I ran into them in Portland at a Sunday or some market, and I didn't know who it was. I was really enjoying them, and then when I found out it was Pretty Gritty, I said, oh, you guys. Yeah, you come and visit us regularly. Well, right now I have someone visiting us, and that is Rick Crawford, only he's not really visiting because he lives here. That is, when he's not on the road, which you spend more time here than on the road, don't you, Rick?
Well, yeah, I do.
Okay.
But, yeah, I have a tendency to wander hither and yon.
Tendency to wander. So, Rick works together on the Arts Council of Clatsop County. And by the way, folks, if you're interested in finding out more about how the arts is an important mover in the economy, we just finished a study and it is knock your socks off. Come on Monday, 1 p.m. to the Building 800 Exchange Street in Astoria, fourth floor, and join us for our presentation. If you want more information, call me after the show. Meanwhile, why does Rick go wandering? Because he's a collaborator. Is that?
I'm a collaborative artist, yeah.
Ah, that's better. Collaborative artist. Yeah. The word collaborate is a little strange. When were you in France? That was...
I've been in France twice now for the collaboration. The first time was in June of 2015. This last time, June 2017.
Okay, recently. Now, you called it it's not just that you go over there and work with artists.
It's an organized event. It's called a collaborative seminar. And they select the artists. They invite you.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on your body of work. And... sometimes it's based on if you have any previous collaborative experience, which I do.
Oh.
I've been to New Zealand twice, and I'm going off to Australia next month.
I know. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So, but that's interesting what you say. It sort of builds.
It builds. So it definitely builds.
Yeah.
The beauty of it is you get brought together with other artists. We each have our own skill sets, our own voices, and we wind up creating a chorus.
Nice. Is it all one medium or?
Oh no.
Okay.
I'm primarily a wood sculptor. I work with metal. I work with found objects. I dabble in ceramics. I've got a keen interest in casting glass. I haven't gotten to there yet, but I am starting to gather the materials, the tools to do such. But the artists that are selected, they bring various skill sets. We have blacksmiths, we have welders, ceramic artists, printmakers, paper makers,
mm-hmm.
Painters, a lot of wood turners, because this is the French one is held at the École Escalène in Eguin, France, and mm-hmm. it's a world renowned wood turning school.
Mm.
And so we mm-hmm. have this fantastic facility. All the tools we could ever want, plus the artists bring their own. Me, coming from America, my power won't work over there, my tools, because of the power difference. So they arrange for me to be able to borrow what I need. It's usually just a flex shaft.
So do other people learn or experiment, and do you experiment in other people's art
form?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. It's an eye-opening experience. When I was in New Zealand the first time in 2011, I was wandering around the metal tents one night, and a woman from Canada was working on a process called fold forming of copper. I'd never heard of it. I'd never seen it, or at least I wasn't aware that I'd seen it, and I was fascinated by it. I said, I've got to learn this. This is something I could apply to my sculpture somehow. So when I came back to the States, I started looking into it, and lo and behold, I did find the information, a book by Charles Lutenbrain, a Canadian, and it's called Fold Forming.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, a real simple title.
Straightforward.
Fantastic. Fantastic book. I went through all of the illustrations.
So it's not that while you were there, you started working with her. It's that you were exposed to that and inspired. And
in
and
that instance,
home.
Yes.
Okay.
But at other collaborations I've been to, mm-hmm. I've actively sought out somebody's skill set to learn it on the spot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't come there with a project in mind that you're going to start and finish?
No, because you don't know what kind of materials are going to be presented to you. We have what's called a resource table or resource area, and it's donated items. Think of Habitat for Humanity, Goodwill, mm-hmm. thrift shop, that kind of stuff. People will bring stuff from their studios, cast-offs, design cast-offs, studios mess-ups, a politically polite way of saying it. and you look at this, you know what you can do. And the night before we're presented with all this, we have an introductory session where we're introduced to each other's work via slideshow.
Uh-huh.
And so now we've got an idea what other people can do. And your mind just starts churning.
How many people are there?
There were 50 at this.
50?
Yeah. In 2015, there were 60 of us. In New Zealand, both times, there's approximately 70.
So when you say a slideshow, you mean of each person's work or just one piece?
Yeah. We would have three images of our work.
Of each of you.
And we would stand up and introduce ourselves and talk about our work, what inspired us, mm-hmm. what we use. I use primarily repurposed materials. I prefer not to buy. I mean, I have to buy finishing material, but I like working with found wood.
Why?
Because I have a degree in environmental science, and my teachers would probably shoot me if I didn't.
Were you talking to Tevin outside? Did you
hear that? No, I was tempted to. I didn't know that he was going for an environmental degree.
Isn't that funny? Both of you in the arts with environmental degrees. Why is it important to you, and what's the connection for you between the arts? I mean, I didn't even know that. I only know you as a working artist.
Yeah, connection. There's two connections. One, well, there's probably more, but one is you get exposed to other skill sets, other design aesthetics. Aesthetics is a 75-cent word for ideas of what to do with the thing that's in your hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you get exposed to this, which is it helps you grow as an artist. And then you also develop a connection with these artists whose work you admire, and artists who you collaborate with.
Do you keep in touch with some of these folks?
Yes, we do. Wow. Yeah.
And do you see some of the people at the next collaborative? Like you're going off to Australia?
Sometimes at the next collaborative, sometimes at the symposiums that the American Association of Woodturners puts on. I'm a member of that. And they have an annual international symposium. It's held in the States, but it's international mm-hmm. in scope.
So might you, for example, what you just described about being inspired by, what was it, the simple words,
The design aesthetics?
No, the thing that you came back and looked up and learned.
Oh, fold forming, yes.
Yeah, fold forming, I told you, simple words. Might you do that at one of the collaboratives?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I take the tools that I think I'm going to need that they would not necessarily have on hand. I'll usually take my favorite hammer.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's not a claw hammer. it's a specific hammer for mm-hmm. working with metal.
Mm-hmm.
And it has really nice qualities
to
it.
What kind of metal do you work with?
Primarily copper. Sheet copper, tube copper. I am not opposed to working with brass. I have worked with pewter. I have pewter.
Mm-hmm.
I have not made anything recently with it, but I have enough to make some nice stuff.
So when did you start making art as opposed to studying the environment, or did you make art?
Oh, I've been an artist all my life.
In the sandbox, in the environment.
Pretty much in the sandbox, yeah, I started. And it's funny that you mentioned the sandbox. When you go to these artist collaborations, it's like you are playing in the sandbox, but this sandbox has a whole different set of rules. Mm-hmm. You're not playing with plastic airplanes and die-cast chips. You're playing with materials and tools and ideas. And the result is really cool stuff. Really cool stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
And having all these other folks around.
Yeah.
So when do you go to Australia?
I leave on September 15th, and I arrive back on September 29th, okay. Totally exhausted.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. In many ways, in many ways. So, well, I think it's very exciting that you're doing this, and also I look forward to somehow seeing how you're experiencing all of this, what you're going away with, and then how you change when you come back.
Well, that's kind of what brought me here today, because was going to France the last time you had me on air, and you said, please come back and tell me about the experience. And here's the fun part. Here's the, well, it's fun, it's humbling, it's honoring. They have videoed both collaborations that I've been involved in. And this time, the director, Hugo Piad, and I hope I pronounce his name properly, was fascinated with my voice. Why, I don't know. But he asked me if I would be interested in giving some voice to be applied to the video. And I said, yeah, I can do that. And so for about 3 days, periodically, he would record mm-hmm. my conversation. He would prompt me with questions and mm-hmm. just ask me to ramble on, which I have a tendency to ramble
You're good
on anyway.
At that. Yeah, yeah.
And he sent me a link and a private link to his private YouTube. Excuse me. That it's almost a 6-minute video. Mm-hmm. And I shared that with you.
I was going to say, am I allowed to say that I saw
yes,
it? And it is beautiful.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful. As a matter of fact, I asked you, I said, did you, because the subtitles are in French.
They are
and
in French,
so
but that's my voice
you
hear.
I knew the voice, but I asked you, did they do the French and then translate for you? So you were, or was it the other way around? And you said, no. They took my words and translated it
yeah.
into French.
He recorded my
did
voice.
A beautiful job.
And edited out or edited in what he wanted to include into mm-hmm. the video, because mm-hmm. it was only less than a 6-minute video.
Yeah, it's excellent. Though. And the images and what you say also, you've packed a lot in there. Well, 3 days worth, and then he edited, which, as
oh,
we know, is
he
hard.
He squeezed it down to the bare yeah. essence of yeah. what he was looking for.
Right.
And I was both honored and humbled.
So can you either remember or just tell us, not 6 minutes worth, but in, say, 2 sentences, what did he, as the organizer, find to be the most important part of what you were saying? It wasn't just that he liked your voice, Rick.
No,
it
was
he
about
liked what you said.
Precisely,
yeah.
Precisely.
And how well you articulated. So,
and I think the two things, or actually the three things, was that we are disparate artists with various skill sets, and we come together to bring our voices into this chorus. That's one thing I mentioned. The other thing is that we were playing in that sandbox that I described.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then the third thing was the friendships that evolved from that.
Mm-hmm.
And Hugo, as far as I understand, he's 20 years old, and he does a lot of music videos.
Yeah.
I've looked at his other stuff.
I was going to say watching the video and listening to you and what you say and the pacing and everything, it's more poetic. I'm sorry, but I have to say this. It's more poetic and just lovely than you're being able to say right now without all the timing, et cetera. So
yeah, yeah.
When it becomes public.
When it becomes public,
it
will be, we'll figure out a way to announce that.
That would be great. So, okay, well, we're going to wish you, let's see, you are going to Australia. So mate, have a good trip.
Aye.
All right. Really, bon voyage. That was from your last
bon
trip.
Bon voyage is a very preferred term.
And we'll see you when you come back. And meanwhile, you can catch Rick on Monday at 1 o'clock, 800 Exchange, because as I mentioned, he's part of the Arts Council of Clatsop County, as am I, and we'll be there to let you know how important art is, not just in all of the things we talk about here, but also in the economy.
Not and to mention that they can see my artwork at River Sea Gallery.
I was going to say that you can pick Rick's brain, too. So, yeah, your art is at River Sea. Okay.
And I'm usually there for the art walk, usually.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you for inviting me once again. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Take care. And my last guests are here. I saw them outside. I'm going to play a cut from Adams and Costello, their new album, You Better Believe It, because they are, in addition to its being good music, they are part of the Hootenanny. That's right. It's a good old Hootenanny. And my guests are going to tell you more about it and play some of their music. It is tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. And Adams and Costello are one of the duos that are playing right here on Coast Community Radio.
They will kill you slowly. Let the rain come pouring down. I built a boat in the desert, and I dream of storm clouds, winds from the west kill slowly. Your meltdown. Next to you, my love's a peasant in a soup kitchen downtown. Love and respect not always present, neither lost.
That's Adams and Costello. You can catch them all over the place. That's and you can even book them. It says it right here. But better yet, you can hear them tomorrow evening at the Hootenanny. I love saying that word, Hootenanny. did you name it, Paul Duber, the Hootenanny?
No, actually, that's a term from...
No, I... pull your mic down.
Jimmy?
Tip it down.
Like this.
Yes, that's it. These are two professional musicians, folks. But maybe it doesn't want to stay. That's
maybe
good.
Maybe it doesn't want to stay. Okay.
Yeah. So okay. Paul Duber and Bobby Bobcat Rice.
Hi, Carol.
Do I get to say the whole thing? So no, I know the term is an old term, but this event in Cannon Beach.
Well, the event in Cannon Beach is a Hootenanny. It kind of started about 4 years ago, I believe, the first one we had. And it was just a compilation of folks that played in and around Cannon Beach. Mm-hmm. And we put it together, and it worked out very similarly to the old Hootenannies. It was a contributory event from a lot of different artists. Over the years, it's kind of evolved. The second time we did it, it was a songwriters festival, and it was the only thing we allowed in were original tunes.
Right.
Last year, it was more Hootenanny-ish, so it didn't require original music. This year, what we did is similar to last year. We invited bands that play regularly in Cannon Beach. This is an opportunity for the bands in Cannon Beach to play regularly in the venues, the taverns, the bars, restaurants, to get into the Coaster Theater, which is most definitely just an enviable place to be able to play music.
A real concert hall.
Oh, yeah, real
concert.
Absolutely. You know, people are listening and paying attention, and
yeah,
it's
I did recognize
wonderful.
Some of the names here. The Floating Glass Balls.
Floating Glass Balls
and
will be
Maggie
there.
Maggie and the Cats.
Maggie and the Cats.
And Thistle and Rose. That sounds familiar.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a great lineup. It's four bands that play regularly. Adams and Costello, and you've mentioned the Glass Balls and Maggie and the Cats.
That's wonderful. And Thistle and Rose are part of Thistle and Rose are sitting right here.
The thistles.
The thistles. I like the way you both chimed
in. Yeah, well, we've been put in our place a couple of times.
I see. Who are the Roses in your group?
Roses are Cammie Lyra, and you know Cammie from Coaster Theater.
Right.
Just an amazing, amazing, talented young lady, not only theatrically, but vocally as well. She carries the high notes for us most admirably.
Nice. She's and a
my,
bit younger,
and my wife,
Yeah.
Maggie's, Cammie's younger than, well, she's certainly younger than me and Bobby.
Yeah.
I wouldn't suggest she's younger than my wife, but I have to live with that when I get home. And Margot, my wife, is our alto.
Margot Duber.
And those are the two Roses.
Yes, lovely, lovely. So we have the Thistles here, and they have their guitars. Now, mentioning the theater in the Coaster is interesting because that's how I knew you for a long time, and then suddenly I'm looking at it's got to be the same person. You know, there are about 5,000 Dubers down there, but there's only one Paul Duber. And so you have changed your focus completely to music, or?
Well, back when I was in theater here at Clatsop Community College with Jim Cameron way back in the day, and I was also playing with a fellow by the name of Bruce Combs, and we had a group called New Pacific Singers, and we toured the colleges in the Pacific Northwest when I was going to college here at Clatsop.
So this is a few years back.
Yeah, a few years back. Moved to Eugene, met my wonderful wife, and started raising a family. I put the guitar away. For probably about 30 years, I didn't. I would pick it up and play when some friends showed up, but didn't pick it up and play regularly. Came to Cannon Beach, got involved a little bit with the music, certainly theater, and then I met Bobby, and there's a story on that one, and I started playing pretty regularly with Bob, and
all
over the place.
I know, I come upon you in a courtyard, in an art gallery. I never know where you're going to be.
That's true.
It's wonderful.
But it's really a treat for me, and I've changed my focus from theater to music, and redid some of my original music from way back in the day. I wrote a number of songs back 45 years ago. Brought those up, have written some sense.
Okay. Now, Bobby, did you ever stop making music?
Yeah, I did. My wife and I decided after 10 years of marriage we'd have some kids. And I didn't want to be the absentee father. And so I didn't want to be out on the road any longer.
So you had been traveling.
Been traveling and doing studio work, kind of a guitar for hire thing. And basically, I went back to school, pounded out a degree, a master's degree in psychology and later my doctorate, and so I could stay home and work with my kids.
Did you need a doctorate to
work
with
my
your
kids?
Yeah.
I do now.
I can't.
They're all grown and gone, and now that comes in handy.
Really?
And then...
Did you keep the music up, though, or did you like Paul?
I'd fiddle with it and do that. I just wasn't out playing about and doing things like that. But then back in about 2000, I started at it again. And now That's all I'm doing. So.
Well, it's fantastic, and I'm so glad you did because of you, and then because you sucked him into it, too. So how wonderful. Yeah.
Well.
And maybe we could hear a tune from the two of you. Would that work?
Which one do you want to do?
I'll start with Mary Lou.
Oh, okay.
Because I know Carol will be singing along with us.
Yeah, yeah. Carol, sing out.
I'm turning my mic off right now. I'm not
Carol,
intimidated.
Hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart. Sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew Mary Lou. We never part, so hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart. I passed you by one sunny day. You flashed those big brown eyes my way. Ooh, I wanted you forevermore. Now I'm not one gets around. I swear my feet stuck to the ground. And though I never did see you before, hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart, sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew Mary Lou, we'd never part, so hello, Mary Lou, goodbye, heart. Heard your voice, believe me, I had no choice. Wild horses couldn't make me stay away. I dreamed about a moonlit night, your arms around me good and tight. That's all I had to see for me to say. Hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart, sweet Mary Lou. I'm so in love with you. I knew Mary Lou. We'd never part, so hello, Mary Lou, goodbye, heart. Yes, hello, Mary Lou, goodbye, heart. Hey, hello, Mary Lou, goodbye,
heart. Ooh, yeah, I love it, I love it. Boy, I like those extra little sounds you put in there, too. Now, that's a traditional song, isn't it? Or is it?
Well, it was a big hit for Ricky Nelson. I'm trying to think of the guy that wrote it. The guy, Gene Pitney, wrote the song originally. The guy that did Town Without Pity and songs like that back in the 50s, 60s.
Oh, okay. So it's not...
It's not that old.
That old. No. Say we. So does Thistle and Rose mostly play... Well, what do you mostly play? Let me... open it to you.
Well, you know, that's interesting because Bobby has been playing guitar professionally since he was 12 years old. And he's played blues. He's traveled throughout the South with a couple of very well-known blues musicians. He's played with Ricky Nelson in Ricky's band.
Oh.
He's played with Guy Clark and Guy Clark's band.
Oh.
Bobby's got some serious chops. Mm-hmm. And I bring ballads because I grew up and my heroes were Gordon Lightfoot and Peter Paul and Murray. Simon, I love Simon and Garfunkel, Phil
right.
Oakes,
right.
Hoyt
and I
Axton.
Must have grown up in the same
yeah,
neighborhood.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, so our music is kind of a blend of several genres, and it's a treat, especially for me, because I have a tendency to kind of get stuck doing the same thing over and over again. Well, Bobby has really expanded that horizon a lot, which is really a lot of fun for me. So I really enjoy that.
And Cammy and Margot, do they play instruments or sing?
No, they just sing.
They're the girl singers.
Yes. We bought them actually some kazoos, and that lasted for about 30 minutes, and then they got put away.
Oh, those are professional instruments, too, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. We keep talking about
right.
it.
Right. When did you do the heavy-duty professional music?
Through the 1960s and the 1970s.
That was before you had the kids?
Before I had the kids.
Okay.
Yeah, the kids came along in about 81. They started coming out.
Got just like that.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, that's interesting, though, that you were willing and able to. Did you think you were giving it up?
Or yeah. But you know, it's kind of like a lot of people get displaced. When disco came around in the 1970s, mostly what was left was to do studio work. Yeah, I mean, the club days and smaller show venues and stuff had kind of been put on the side there for people were entertaining themselves at discotheques, dancing into the mirrors and all of that stuff. And so, yeah, but it was I don't think I felt any worse leaving this art that I'd worked all my life to do than a logger or a fisherman or
but
anybody else.
But did you feel the well, maybe it's not different. What I was going to say is sometimes the body limits how long we can do something, whether it's a sport or heavy lifting in the so people have to get or they get hurt. Because it's such a, I'm just wondering, did you have it in you knowing that someday I'll probably pick up that guitar again, or will you?
Yeah, I did, but I just didn't think I'd be making my living doing that. And what actually did happen is I picked up the guitar again and I started playing the guitar for the reason I started in the first place, to have fun.
Okay, not music therapy.
Not music therapy.
Well, no. Actually, that might be therapeutic in itself. Yeah.
I'm sure it is, of course. Having fun is, yeah, absolutely. Well, I would love to hear another tune. I want to ask you, do you, I don't even know how to say this, but I'm finding that a lot of young people are opening up to folk music, which is, of course, everything, but as opposed to just the alternative rock and all of that kind of stuff. Have you, do you have any ideas about that?
Oh, man, singer-songwriters. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, some of the most, some of the greatest stuff I'm hearing is coming out of what might have been at one time the same thing as kind of the punk movement, you know, where people weren't necessarily working on their instrument chops and doing that, but they were saying something. Well, it's the same with the singer-songwriters. They come out, they play well, and they write these amazing things. And so I see that happening a lot, especially well, even the millennials right now, but the Generation X really kind of started hammering at home. Now they're 50, right?
I was going to say, no, wait, which one's that? Being a war baby, I don't know all the
things. Well, we're the boomers.
You are. I'm a war baby. Okay. I'm an older woman.
Oh.
So, yes. Ooh, I like
there
that.
There you go.
Speaking of which, let's hear another tune.
Go three?
Yeah, sure.
This is sounding really good.
Paul's donkey gets mentioned in this song.
Paul's donkey? Is that as in three-letter word?
Yeah, okay. I hope that's okay on Public Coast Radio. Okay, good.
It is for me.
Okay.
Woke up this morning, I put on my slippers. I walked in the kitchen and died. And oh, what a feeling when my soul went through the ceiling and on up into heaven I did rise. When I got there, they did say, Paul, it happened this way. You slipped upon the floor and hit your head. And all the angels say, just before you passed away, these were the very last words that you said. Well, please don't bury me down in that cold, cold ground. I'd rather have them cut me up, pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane when the blind can have my eyes. And the deaf can take both my ears if they don't mind the size. Well, give my stomach to Milwaukee if they run out of beer. Put my socks in a cedar box, just get them out of here. Venus de Milo can have my arm, look out, I got your nose. Sell my heart to the junk man and give my love to Rose. But please don't bury me down in that cold, cold ground. I'd rather have them cut me up, pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane when the blind can have my eyes. And the deaf can take both my ears if they don't mind the size.
Well, give my feet to the footloose, careless, fancy free. Give my knees the ninny, I don't pull that crap on me. Hand me down my walking cane, it's a sin to tell a lie. Send my mouth away down south and kiss my ass goodbye. But please don't bury me down in that cocoa ground. I'd rather have them cut me up, pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane when the blind can have my eyes. And the deaf can take both my ears if they don't mind this size. And the deaf can take both my ears if they don't mind this size.
Right. Now, whose song is that?
John Prine.
Oh, figures. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful yeah. songwriter. Yeah. He's still performing. He's had some bouts of cancer.
Oh.
So he's health-wise is challenged, but he's still out there. He was in the Portland area like last month or month and a half ago or something.
Bravo.
Still
yeah.
performing.
He gets played a lot on.
Yeah. yeah. Yes.
Samuel Hinton, for sure. I want to mention that Paul is playing a 12-string guitar. And Bobby's playing a 6-string guitar. And do either of you do the other as well? You must play a 6-string as well.
No, you know, I've had this guitar since I bought it in 1968.
Get
I bought this
here.
Guitar in 1968 in Portland. It was used at the time. It's a Guild 12-string, built in 1954.
Right.
And I have a beautiful custom 6-string at home. Mm-hmm. Really nice Santa Cruz guitar, and I'll pick it up and I'll play a couple of tunes with it, and I put it away because yeah. I just I'm so used to the ring and the the sound and the feel of the 12 string that it's difficult for me to sing without
right.
this one in my hand.
How about you, Bobby? Do you play 12 string as well?
Oh, sure, but I don't live, and I don't you know in our group. We have swapped guitars occasionally just for
on
fun.
Occasion.
I mean, there's an old Beatle tune, You Got to Hide Your Love Away, and I like to play the 12-string on that sometimes.
Do either of you play the tenor guitar, the 4-string?
No.
Mm. Yeah,
I do not.
But I don't have one.
We'll talk.
I do know. I do know that this is the Astoria here.
Is the only tenor guitar capital in the world.
That's right. It's the heart.
It's the heart and soul. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we lost our Mark Josephs who started it, but the festival continues and people come from all over the country. So
they do, including Margo and I. And we've really enjoyed that. It's such a treat.
It is.
Remember the guy Jimmy on the Mickey Mouse Club? That was the first tenor guitar player I ever seen.
Oh, interesting.
The guy,
the older guy, late adolescent. Yeah. That was kind of the.
See, that's the funny thing. Most of us never even heard of it. And yet, when you start looking at the pictures, like Nick Reynolds from the Kingston Trio and stuff, you say, wait a minute. Mark's idea was to just go around with a wire cutter.
Bill Steidel.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Bill's part of that. Well, Gordo was part of our whole, his brother. We are out of time. Let's just remind people again where and what is happening. It's tomorrow night. Now, there's no play.
No,
okay.
It's a night off for some reason. It's Hood to Coast.
Oh,
and
right.
So that theater just decided that this is the one weekend they would have a little hiatus.
Wait, wonderful.
Yes, it is.
Perfect to have you guys in there. So the Hootenanny is happening. My guests are Paul Duber, whom you just heard, and Bobcat Rice. And they are the Thistles of the Thistle and Rose, and the Roses are Margot Duber and Cami
Lyra.
And it's 7:30 at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach tomorrow. And you can always check it online or just show up and get yourself a ticket and relax. It's a great theater. And would you do some noodling while I just tell folks, thank you so much for coming in. This
You're
was
welcome.
So fun.
You're welcome.
Okay. A little bit of noodling while I tell you that the Astor Street Opry Company is still happening and through the 9th. That's tonight, tomorrow night. The Coaster has Steel Magnolias tonight. And then that will be alternating with Clue the Musical. The Burke in Birkenfeld has Kara Granger Band tonight. And tomorrow night is J.J. Thames and the Violet Revolt. The Adrift has Pretty Gritty, as you heard, and Saturday is Pete Krebs, Saturday and Sunday. Washington State International Kite Fest, Sweet Basil's Maggie and the Cats, and Saturday is Bar Cave Buckaroos. And the Hoffman has the North Coast Potters from 3 to 5 today and tomorrow. Tango Saturday night. Cannon Beach Gallery has an opening for Diane Kingsett, Time Will Tell, tomorrow night, and a workshop with Dorota Haber Lee, 2 to 5. Whiskey Stick, the old Astoria band, is at the Astoria Armory Skate Park tomorrow night. Troll Radio Review is tomorrow morning with Kelly Shannon and Starlight, Peter Unander and friends, and the Troll Radio House Band. And Maddie Charles, the Hoffman has Word and Image opening at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Oh, there's lots more. Don't forget to Love Your Columbia, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Meet us at the Maritime Memorial Park to help clean up the river. We're all in this together. And then next Thursday, Gala with Beyond Eclectic.